the benefit of work and the blessing of sharing. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it's very easy to be thankful for gifts. Maybe a birthday present. It's very easy to be thankful for a raise in pay. You certainly are thankful if somebody leaves you in his will. Not with debt, but with inheritance. But have you ever been thankful for hard work? Have you ever been thankful for the opportunity to share with others? These are gifts too. And you will hear about this today, Thanksgiving Day, the year of the Lord 2020. Our headings are two, the benefit of work and the blessing of sharing. The blessing of sharing. Our goals are that you will learn to work hard and learn to share with others. Now or since you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and have been renewed with life and with the promise of heaven. First, we will consider the benefit of work, which is a gift of God. Now, Ruth wanted to provide for herself and her mother-in-law, and so she asked for permission to leave her mother-in-law. Ruth wasn't really looking for permission to work. She expected to work. She struggled with the problem of caring for her mother-in-law and providing for her. How do you care for someone and go out and work at the same time? Ruth certainly did not expect others to provide for her needs. She didn't say, well, I'm at home caring for my mother-in-law, so the society must take care of me. She was not a socialist. She wanted to work. She knew that work was a blessing and indeed was a gift from God. God commanded work. God commanded Adam and Eve to work before the fall. And God blessed that work. And so Ruth, understanding that, then decided to work to provide for herself and her mother-in-law. Ruth did not complain about the hardness of life to provide for her needs. She simply accepted the providential circumstance in which she was. You know, some people like to say, well, I'm a believer now. God, you owe me. I shouldn't have any worries. I remember a man who claimed to be a pastor. He was demanding that his mother-in-law pay for his diabetic medicines because he was overweight. And I thought, you should go out and get some exercise. Not stay at home and hope that somebody or demand that somebody else will take care of you. And that's Ruth, that she understood the necessity of work and didn't have any expectation that God would provide. You see, you're not doing God some kind of favor if you become a Christian. You're a Christian because it's the right thing to do. Because you'll go to hell without being a Christian. Have no hope. You are commanded to live for the glory of God. And that's what she did. And you know, it's interesting too. We live in a society where jealousy is being promoted. Somebody has more. You hear this talk about, well, everyone must pay their fair share. And what that means is code for you pay more than I do. But Ruth was not jealous that others had a lot. And others had a better life. She knew the benefit of work. And look at the work. Ruth then went to a certain field, following the reapers, to pick up what was left behind. That was called gleaning. Gleaning really means to pick up the leftovers. And that was God's plan to provide for the poor. You see, the poor had to work if they were able to work. So when the crops were harvested, the harvesters could not go to the very edge. If there's a square plot of land, they would make sort of a curve at the end. And whatever was left in the corner there, the gleaners could pick up. And if you have your cart and something fell off your cart, you couldn't pick it up. You had to leave that for the poor. But they had to go and work. to get that. That was hard work to be able to do, because it was not much. Yet God required that the poor work. Look at Leviticus in your notes, chapter 23, verse 22, together. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. The key there is understanding that last part. I am Jehovah. I am your covenant God. I'm the one who sent my son to pay the price for your sins. So you belong to me. Everything you have belongs to me. And that is what would make it easy for people not to take everything for themselves, but to leave some for the poor. Now Ruth happened to work in Boaz's field. We say happened because she didn't know where she was going. This was God guiding her. And he was a relative of her mother-in-law. Ruth was one of those designated as Naomi's kinsman redeemer. A kinsman redeemer is one who would redeem land if you had to mortgage it. You ran into difficult times, you had to mortgage your land for so many years, and the kinsman redeemer would help you by paying what you owe so you can get back your land. Now Boaz saw Ruth and he inquired about the woman who was leading in the field. He didn't know who she was. And he was told this was the Moabitess, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And Ruth then, meeting Boaz for the first time, asked permission to be in Boaz's field and worked hard while she was there from morning until evening. This is a woman who had not worked probably before that way. Suddenly she's in a foreign place, and she had to work, and she had to work hard. The summer sun in Palestine is not very friendly. It could be very uncomfortable. And then no one had a right to go into anyone's field. You'd have to ask for permission. And so she did. She understood work was important, that sometimes it was hard, that you don't have a right to money and to food from other people. So she dedicated herself to receive the gift that God had given to her, the gift of hard work. What lessons can we learn from this? A number of things, a variety of issues. Regarding Ruth and Naomi, first of all, learn to care for others, especially for those who are close to you and those who are poor. Think about how many people ended up in nursing homes and died this past year. Now there's negligence on part of the government and the people who run the nursing homes and all of that. But do you think those people, all of them, should have been there? Many of them were just sent there or decided to go there because their relatives wouldn't care for them. Maybe that's something we should think about in our own lives. That we should learn to care for the elderly. It shouldn't have to be dropped off nursing home and visited on their birthday and Christmas. Yeah, is it difficult sometimes to care for them? Yeah, of course it is. You have to make some sacrifices. You have to give up some money to help your poor and needy relatives. Yes, that's what God calls you to do. And then think of your brothers and sisters elsewhere who are struggling. You know, in Canada, you can work. Most people are able to get jobs and work and provide for their needs. But what about those in some countries where they're absolutely locked down? They're not even allowed to go outside. I saw a note from Patrick Kipongo this past week about the troubles in Kenya on what is happening here now. It's getting worse because the government continues to extend the lockdown and you can't even go out to work. And when you're paid every day and you buy food the same day, suddenly you can't do it. You've got no. Think about sending some food for those who are overseas and have nothing. But more, second, learn that work is hard, and you must work hard. It is because of sin, of course, that work is as hard and difficult as it is. But suppose someone gives you a treadmill. How do you get the benefit of that? Sometimes you have to work hard at getting the benefits of it, right? You have to go on that treadmill and walk, and run, and push yourself so you get the exercise and the benefits of it. So not all gifts by themselves are immediately enjoyable. We've got some candy in the back there for after the service. It's easy, just rip the paper and there are the treasures inside. Vitamin, sugar. Well, that's easy enough. But to get the benefits of some gifts, there's work that's involved. And that's what she was doing. That's what you need to learn as well. Yeah, work hard. Third, don't expect others to provide for you. Work hard so you can share with others who are not providentially able to make a living. See, sometimes in Canada especially, we focus on our rights. We have a right to this, we have a right to good housing, and a right to food, and a right to medical care, and a right and a right. Well, we must focus on our responsibilities. Yes, rights can be taken away, but rights are not always as critical as we think they may be. We need to focus on what our responsibilities are, and that's what Ruth did. Focus on your responsibilities as a Christian. Four, there's something when you work that there's a benefit as well. There's a fulfillment, regardless of the job you have. Don't be prideful about that. Take the gift, whatever it is. It might be simply working a laborer job. That's okay, it's a job, it's a gift. You don't deserve anything, and you can use that to provide for your needs and to help others as well. Suppose you have a job as a cleaner. Some people think, well, that's a kind of a lower-end job. I want a job that's impressive. Well, it's a gift. It's a job. It's honorable. It pleases God. It serves a function that is essential. Take the gift. Five, if you are needy, ask for help. That's what Ruth did. She needed help. She was willing to work, but she needed help. And it's to your shame if you don't ask for help. You're denying your brothers the opportunity to help. Boaz got an opportunity to help, and as you will see, there are great blessings that follow his willingness to help Ruth. And then six, maintaining a good relationship with your employer or your employee brings good to them and glory to God. And you see that with Boaz. When he comes back to work, what do the employees say? God bless you. And he says, God bless you. What a difference instead of almost this adversarial relationship that constantly exists. Now, it's true, sometimes you have bad employees and you have bad employers. But look at them, even if they are unkind, as God's means of providing for you. That you will treat your boss with respect. You treat your employees with respect. That relationship is essential that it is in good hands. Now, we move to our second point. We see the hard work, that it is a gift of God, it is a blessing. You have no right to it, but God is gracious to give you that job to work. But then we look at the blessings that come from sharing. Again, this is another gift. Most people think when you're sharing that that's not the gift. It's when you're receiving, it is the gift. But the Bible speaks of it differently. And you will see the blessing, the gift of being able to share. Now, while it is common in most parts of the world to abuse the poor and to treat them like dirt, Boaz responded in a different way. He responded with kindness to the young widow. Boaz urged Ruth to stay in his fields where she would be safe. She might not have been safe in some of the other fields, because he probably knew those people. And he knew those young men, how they would harass people. And when they didn't have all the protections like we have today, women would be subject to a lot of abuse and taunting and teasing. And Boaz permitted Ruth to stay with, not just in his field, but with his women. The women would do the harvesting. And that's a place where she would be sacred as an extra measure of protection, because she would be with his women who would watch over the young lady. More, Boaz made sure that Ruth had enough water while she was working in the summer's heat. He didn't have to do any of this, but he did. He had a lot, so he shared. And what a testimony this must have been to his workers. First of all, you see the good relationship he had. He waved to them and they waved to him, and it was genuine. And then you see him caring for this woman. If he could care for the stranger woman, he certainly would care for them. And that was a blessing in itself. You see how many blessings come as a result. This gift was precious. What was Ruth's response then? Ruth's response was thankfulness. And then she made some inquiries as to why Boaz would be so kind to her. After all, she was a woman, and women were not looked upon in such a high way in this society, in Eastern society. More, she was a foreigner. Foreigners weren't treated the same way because they didn't serve the true God, and they were those people. More than that, she was not just a foreigner, she was a Moabite. And the Moabites were probably the most despised people by the Jewish people. Why? Because Moab was cruel. Moab was cruel to the women and the children. When the children of Israel were making their journey from Egypt to Canaan, they pleaded with them, "Please let us pass, but we won't even drink your water." And they said no. And that made a hard life for the people of God. And they remembered that. And God said, "Keep those people, those wicked people, out even from the inner courts of the temple." They had to be in Israel for a long time before they could go to the tabernacle or to the temple, to the inner courts. So knowing this, Ruth bowed to Boaz for sharing of his gifts. Now consider the depth of the gift of sharing. Look how Ruth was rewarded with what Boaz gave to her. She falls down before him in thankfulness to him and to his God. This was quite similar to what David described in Psalm 110 about his own kinsman redeemer. And this is the kinsman redeemer who would come through Boaz. Look at the blessing. Did he have this in mind? No. And yet the Lord used Boaz. The gift he gave turned back to be an enormous, a most incredible reward of being the father of Jesus. It's kind of interesting too, because Jesus continued this work of his father Boaz. Jesus sent missionaries all over the world to take the message, the life-giving message, the bread of life to the whole world. He told his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "I am the bread of life. You eat of me, you will live forever." And that's what the message that the disciples were called to take everywhere. Boaz thought he was just helping a poor young lady. Look at what he was a part of. Look how the Lord prepared him. It's kind of interesting how the Lord can use a simple act for great good in the future. And Boaz responded after she asked, "Why are you being so kind to me?" He said, "I heard what you have done. I heard that you were godly." You know, Ruth didn't have a lot of religious talk, but she had a religious walk. She lived Christianity. She cared for her mother-in-law, who was technically not her mother-in-law anymore because her husband had died. And yet she cared for her. And Ruth had left wicked Moab and committed herself to the God of Israel. She told Naomi, "Your people will be my people and your God my God." And what was Boaz's response? You think he did so much. What did he do? Verse 12. Boaz even prayed to the one true God of heaven and earth for more blessing to come upon Ruth, knowing that she needed more than food. she needed more than water. He said, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And indeed, being under God is a place of refuge. Remember Psalm 91, verse 4 and 5. Let's read those verses together. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You see the benefits of being under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was sad is that Jesus said later on to the Jews, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you did not want to come. How awful that they rejected that place of refuge. And the foreigner, Ruth, was willing to be there. And that's what Boaz prayed, that more blessings would come upon her. Then, of course, verse 13, Ruth then expressed appreciation for Boaz's kind words, for his protection, for his promise of food. And all these blessings were more striking to Ruth in another way. She was not even equal to one of the female servants that Boaz had. She was a foreigner. She wasn't an employee. Just a poor woman, despised by the world, and yet Boaz showed kindness to her. That gave her comfort. You see how much this gift was doing? You see what sharing is? Yeah, it was a gift to be able, it's a blessing from God that he had enough to be able to share. But that gift kept multiplying. Multiplying. Then Boaz translated his thought into more work, to action, by inviting Ruth to share with his lunch meal. And this was a good meal for workers. It seems a little awkward translated that you're taking some bread and dipping it in vinegar. But this was not the typical vinegar that we buy at our No Frills, that strong vinegar. This was a wine base, like sour wine, and then they would add some olive oil to it to add some flavor, and you could dip your bread in that, and it would be quite refreshing. Many people still use this today for food. And then they had freshly parched grain, not the old stuff, but the fresh ones. Wine brought refreshment. The fresh grain was a delight, and she enjoyed that meal with Boaz. You see here again that Boaz refreshed her thirsty body and soul. She ate and was satisfied. Something that's missed in our text, though, is that Ruth then kept back some of the fresh parched grain to share with her mother-in-law. Something is easily missing there. She could have said, look, I'm the one going hard, working hard. I'm the one in the hot sun. I deserve this extra special treatment of the fresh parched grain. No, she didn't. She wanted to share like Boaz shared with her. She didn't deserve to get anything he shared. The mother-in-law might not have deserved this special grain, but she shared. You see, sharing is what? Sharing is contagious for God's children. So Naomi was rewarded as a result of what Boaz did. And then verse 15 and 16. As if the blessing were not enough, Boaz then blessed Ruth with much. He urged his men to allow Ruth to be among the grain, not what was left over, but among the grain that was reserved for himself. He received much, so he shared. He ordered his men to let a few bundles fall off the wagon, we would say, so Ruth would have even more. So Ruth was not even rewarded. Though she worked hard, the reward was not simply from her hard work. She was rewarded above her labor. Such was the blessing of God. Such was the blessing of God. What lessons then can we learn from this blessing of sharing? First of all, blessings follow those like Ruth and Boaz who live godly lives. and bless the people of God. So you should live godly lives. Be kind. Reflect who your God is. Jesus gave up heaven to give you the gift of life. And you should continue in that same tradition as ones who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Reflect who your Savior is. And the more you recognize the wonders of your Savior's work, the more you will show kindness. And that's why we go to church every week. That's why we read our Bibles every day. Because more and more we realize what Jesus has done for us, that forms the ground for helping others. If you think of the people in Nepal or in India or in Kenya or some other poor place, you would not be as motivated. Because you would say, well, maybe they're lazy, maybe this, maybe that, maybe the other. But when you remember what Jesus did for you, you're responding in love. Love to the Savior by caring for his people. You're not focusing on the people, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. A look at the other blessings that follow. Ruth and Boaz became the direct parents of Jesus Christ. Can you realize, can you think for a minute of what it will be like because of the kindnesses you have done? Maybe you don't even know what you have done. Maybe a small act of kindness that someone was blessed with. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. In this case, what a blessing. I wonder how much of this Boaz realized. Just letting a lady leave behind him, just letting her get a piece of bread and dip it in some wine. All in a day's work, no big deal. And yet, through this act, open up the door for him to be the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the rewards. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Together, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You are serving Jesus, and that's the basis of your reward. Not think about the people. Think about your Savior. That's the big argument. That's the second. You don't have to have a job or lots of money to be kind. Are there other things you could share? Yes. You could share your ear, listening to someone and his problems. You could share an email of encouragement or challenge. Even a text message that takes seconds to write, it would be something that can be a blessing to others. Just to let them know, I'm praying for you. Is there something I can pray for in your life? You might invite someone for a meal. You can share a meal, a simple meal can mean so much. Or you can share some coffee or tea, as I say, if they're not kind enough to drink coffee. Just a small thing can mean so much. For all that you never know. You never know. And tied to that is the other warning. Don't just show mouth mercy. Don't just talk. It's not good enough. Sometimes there are real investments. So there's money mercy. Maybe somebody is desperate. Financial help. You need then the message mercy, that email, that text message, that phone call. You might need a meeting mercy. You show mercy by spending time with someone. Or milk mercy. It's no use saying, I hope you are well fed and everything's okay in your country. No, the baby needs milk. Maybe that's what you can do to show mercy. Right, so Boaz didn't say, be warm and well fed. He said, here's what you can do. Here's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to pray for more, but here's what I can do right now. And he did. Third and fourth, blessings may come in this life, or it may come in this life and in heaven. We don't know when the Lord will reward, or it may only come in heaven. Keep working hard and let God decide how he will bless your work. Your response is not based on what you can get back. Your response is based on what Jesus has done for you, so you are a blessing to others. And then fifth, let your children catch the sharing disease from you. That's a good thing to spread. Let children see your love for others and your willingness to share. Even if you have to go without something, that you help others. Expose them to acts of kindness. You know, sometimes people want their kids to get chicken pox, so they go around the other kids with chicken pox, so they'll get and get over with. Or exposing them to some other things, like acts of kindness. And then, sixth, Christ, your kinsman redeemer, continues to feed you today. The gifts continue. How do we get fed? The Word of God. Every time you hear a sermon, is the Lord feeding you again? Yeah, it's not fresh parched grain. That's fine. And you have food at home. But it's much more. Every time you participate in the sacrament, it's the Lord feeding us again. And it's continuing in the same line from Boaz to Obed, his son, to Jesse, to David, and follow the line down to Jesus Christ. And continues to provide. Yes, David and Solomon were known for caring for the people. They will go out and conquer in battle, and then they'll bring back and spread the spoils to the people. You can read about that in Psalm 68. King ascends, and he distributes gifts. But look at what the Lord Jesus, the Son, did. He went back into heaven, and then he showers us with blessings. He continues to do that today. Look at where it started. With a poor widow, Moabitess, coming in. Boaz. That's good. Work is a good gift. Even if the work is hard, it's a genuine gift from God. And when you're rewarded with your work, you must share with others. Why? The Lord is the one who has blessed you. He chose you, he called you, he justified you, he sanctified you, and he will glorify you. He feeds your body and soul every day. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, work hard and share. Everything you have received from God. And then teach your children to work, even to work hard. Teach them that work is noble. And not to expect others to provide for their needs. Teach them to share. Rewards from work can make people selfish. But remind them that the produce of their work is a gift of God. And he must regulate how they spend that gift of God. You know, Christmas time is coming. And it would be a good time to reinforce this in your children. And yeah, it's okay to receive. Think about sharing. Think about working hard, think about earning money for yourself, and then think about sharing with others that God gives opportunity. And finally, God cares for his children. If you're not God's child, you're outside of his blessing. You want to become God's child? Ask him. He adopted a Moabitess, the most despised of the people on the planet. He will adopt you too. Jesus died for all kinds of sinners. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us your word to remind us of your love for us. Part of that love is to give us the gift of work. As the redeemed children of God, you expect us then to work hard. Yes, as a consequence of sin, work has become more difficult, but you expected us to work. And that's good for us. We get that sense of fulfillment, and we get the blessing of being able to provide for our needs and to help others. So teach us, Lord, and to share. To share of the gifts that you've given to us, so that the world will be blessed. So as we celebrate today and we give thanks for all you have done, let us remember that the gifts must never end with us. That we become conduits. We become the means by which others are blessed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.